Hey guys, I'm Eric McLean.
And I'm Kelly Gramlich. It's time to talk some ACC sports.
Let's go!
Tuesday, everyone, and welcome into the Gramlich and McLean podcast brought to you by Traeger Grills. Eric McLean, it is ACC tournament week for the women. It is the last week of the regular season for the men. And as our good friend John Rothstein would say, it is March.
It is March, KG. Let's go. When I woke up this morning at 12:01 a.m., things were just different. It was March. It was a different time. It felt different. It smelled different. The air physically tasted different when you guys got up this morning. This is one of my favorite times.
I can't really smell yet, but it's
fine. Whoa. Wow. But it's one of my favorite times of the year. You have Christmas and then you have March Madness, and we're finally here. It starts off with the ACC women's tournament, then the men's, then we get into true madness with a tournament. Kelly, we just watched a couple of games, but primarily North Carolina and Syracuse. And I truly think that that game is going to sum up all of March. I think it's going to be crazy. I think it's going to be sloppy, gritty, big time finishes throughout, just because that's how much of a wild card and curveball I truly think this March Madness is going to be.
I agree, Mac. I hope we get a little bit better three-point shooting in March as a whole.
Well, you and I both. The sharpshooters, you know, we want to see that go in from 30 out.
As UNC shot 19% in this one, and Syracuse with an impressive 29.6%.
That's better.
Buddy Boeheim was great. But that's been a theme, Mac, in the Carrier Dome, and we're going to talk about a little later on, Clemson and Syracuse, big game for both teams on Wednesday. But the shooting in the Carrier Dome, it seems like only Syracuse can do it. And that really reflects the home road splits that we've seen this whole season.
And, you know, interestingly enough, it's a big football stadium. You think of March, these things are played in some big stadiums. So who knows? A team like Syracuse gets in that bubble talk. They sneak in there as they always do, might make a little bit of a run. But before we get into this recap and we go any further, Kelly, I've got to tell you about our friends over at Traeger Grills. And listen, I normally have some type of beautifully written script that I go off of where I use some great insight from Traeger. I mix in kind of my own stories and I get this really fun info commercial for you guys. I'm going straight off the dome for this one because this weekend I cooked 6 racks of ribs and I did it back to back. It wasn't like all 6 on the grill. It was 5 hours with 3 and then another 5 hours for 3 more. It was a marathon of meat.
Your average weekend at the McLean household.
yeah, just a normal Saturday. But I just want to tell you guys of the beast of the machine that the Traeger is. The fact that it can cook for 10 straight hours, 2 different sets of racks, 2 different ways. We did it kind of, one was a little bit of a Texas style. One was kind of a South Carolina style. So I really fully encompass the podcast when we cook this thing. And it's just, it's simple. It's easy. My father came up for the weekend and we got to do some fun DIY stuff while these things are cooking. And guess what? I just looked on my watch, saw what the temperature was, adjusted it accordingly, and then went about our day. So I promise you guys, I talk about the ease, the convenience of Traeger and the grill. It was on full display this weekend where you put it on, you set it, and you forget about it. It's one of the best decisions I've ever made. So you guys have to go find your local Traeger dealer today. Visit TraegerGrills.com/ACC. Browse around, see all the different grills. There's a bunch of different options. And once you've selected the pellet grill of your dreams, use our code ACCSports for free shipping on your entire order. Guys, I did it again the other day. You're going to save about $150, $250 depending on which one you select.
That is amazing. And Max, sometimes you talk about waking up in the middle of the night because it is March. One thing that keeps me up at night is that you would leave the show to possibly start a grilling podcast or a DIY podcast. So those are things that worry me. But I feel like you're pretty locked in and I appreciate that. But Mac is a DIY dude. Do it yourself. He's always doing the renovations. And so that's something people might not know about you.
I try to get it done. And, you know, maybe as 578 Media expands and we get some more podcasts under our company here, you know, maybe we open some stuff up, a little DIY weekend, a little bit of a cooking show here and there. So, you know, who knows, KG, we might branch out.
I'll have to get more hobbies. I'll work on that. I could talk about keeping my succulent alive because I have done that.
You know,
and I'm very
done that many a times on Packer and Durham. So I know the people of the Graham Lick and Mac Lane podcast would love to hear that as well.
Exactly. One succulent died. I was one for two. but I don't really want to talk about that at this time, Mac.
50%. If only UNC could shoot 50% from the three tonight,
oh man,
they'd be feeling a lot better. All right, Kelly, before we jump into our recap of last week in hoops, give the people a little bit of a breaking news, a little change in schedule. We have a pod coming out this Wednesday.
That's right. We're going to release our next pod this week on Wednesday because the ACC Women's Tournament officially starts on Wednesday. And then you'll have a full slate of games on Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. It's a long tournament. So you've got a lot to look forward to. And Louisville head coach Jeff Walls, the head coach of the regular season champions, will join us on Wednesday. Yeah, pretty big get for the pod, Mac. So we're excited to have Coach Walls. He, if you haven't ever heard him before, he is a great interview. He's got a lot of great insight on the game and where it's going. And he's going to give us a preview of the ACC tournament. So we can't wait for that. We're going to put it out Wednesday so people have a lot of time to listen to it before Louisville won't play till Friday. And then I'll give you a little breakdown after we talk with Coach Walls about what I see going down in this ACC tournament. It's going to be crazy.
Yeah, we've got two great guests on Wednesday, obviously, with Jeff Walls coming on from Louisville. And then our very own Kelly Gramlich. She's going to put her guest hat on and be my women's analyst and really
dive
into the
tournament. I've heard
she's
a diva, Max, so watch out.
Well, you know, between getting her hair blown out, her nails done, and you know, going dress shopping, it is tough to kind of schedule.
My nails look bad right now.
Good thing this is just an audio podcast. Nobody will ever know that. But let's jump right into it, Kelly. There was a lot of stuff in hoops happening. We mentioned it is March. Let's start on the women's side. The regular season's over. We have a bracket. I'm going to run through these seeds real quick. As we mentioned, Louisville number one, NC State number two. A little bit of controversy, a little bit of drama there. Georgia Tech number three. Your Yellow Jackets think they can really make some noise. Florida State four. And then this is where it gets fun, and you don't know who is going to come out of these games. Syracuse at 5, Notre Dame 6, Virginia Tech 7, Carolina at 8, Wake Forest at 9, Miami at 10, Clemson at 11, and then the first games that'll be played at 2 p.m. On Wednesday, that'll be Pitt at 12 and Boston College at 13. Kelly, I laid it out there for you. Tell me what you're seeing in this. Do you like the bracket? Do you think Louisville should be number one? Just go ahead and run through it.
Oh, man. I love the bracket. A, because it exists, and we're going to get an ACC women's tournament, and then we're going to get an NCAA tournament, which is very exciting. Let's start at the top. Some people are a little mad that Louisville is the one seed because they lost the head-to-head to NC State. But this year, because a lot of different teams are playing a different number of games due to COVID, the winner is decided by winning percentage. Even though Louisville has two losses and NC State has two losses, Louisville has more wins, and therefore they have the better winning percentage. I would have liked to see this be a co-champions situation, just because NC State beat Louisville. If NC State had not defeated Louisville, if Louisville had beaten NC State, I think we'd all feel better about it. Now, I'm not saying Louisville didn't earn it. You look at winning percentage, look at the wins, it's right there. The proof is there. But I would have liked to see co-champions, personally. And, you know, NC State, if they hadn't lost to North Carolina, they would be the one seed. And then going beyond that, Mac, Georgia Tech earning its highest seed ever, number three seed, its first ever double bye. It's been an incredible year for Georgia Tech. If we get the Georgia Tech NC State game, that's going to be great. And then what about the job Brooke Wyckoff has done, the interim head coach at Florida State? She loses three seniors who were each averaging over 15 points per game last year, takes over as the interim coach, goes through a pandemic, brings in a bunch of new players, and they finish fourth. That is incredibly impressive at Florida State. And keep in mind, Florida State beat Louisville just a week ago, and they might play in the tournament. They're on the same side of the bracket. And Florida State beat Louisville in last year's ACC tournament. There are very few teams that have played Louisville as tough as FSU has since Louisville joined the ACC. And then on that Thursday, Mac, there are so many bubble teams in action. It is just flat-out bubblicious. North Carolina and Wake, the 8-9 game, is going to be great. North Carolina is one of the hottest teams in the country. I think they're in, even if they lose to Wake. So if you're just rooting for the conference, I think Wake needs to win that game and probably beat Louisville to get in the tournament. Wake struggled in the final week of the regular season. They hurt themselves a little bit. You've got Clemson and Notre Dame at the bottom. Clemson already beat Notre Dame this year, so we could see an upset there. Virginia Tech and Miami. I would love to see another Virginia Tech NC State game if they beat Miami. There's so many things to be excited about in this tournament. I expect to see NC State Louisville round two. I think we all want to see that, at least people who aren't fans of the other schools. But I don't think it's guaranteed because we've had so much parity this year. Both NC State and Louisville each have two losses, so anything could truly happen in Greensboro, Mac.
I cannot wait to see it. And like we told you guys, Wednesday, we're going to break this thing down in every angle, every aspect. We've got our first coach coming on. He's going to tell us about the cards and maybe how he sees this tournament shaking out. And then kind of the second half of that podcast episode, which will come out on Wednesday, Kelly's going to just dive into it. And I can't wait to see it. I agree with you. I think it's not guaranteed. It's not 100% that we're going to see one and two play each other because of just how crazy it is. We didn't mention at the beginning the AP ranked teams, but it's the usual suspects. NC State's at three, Louisville's at five. They've been holding it down all season long. I love it. I cannot wait to see this women's tournament and really just how it shakes out and who's going to come out on top. You know, I think there is some opportunity for some craziness early in March.
No doubt. And we'll have the coverage for you all week. I'll be on ACC Network from Thursday through Sunday doing pregame, postgame shows.
Because you know why? We sleep in May, KG. Let's go.
Yes, exactly. Pregame, postgame, halftime, all that good stuff. So tune in. I'll be doing it all from my guest room / home studio because it's 2021.
That's right. That's right. Let's move over to the men's side because we are not yet in postseason play on the men's side. Still have a week of play here, and there's some crazy stuff that could happen here. You know, you mentioned earlier when we were kind of talking before this, the four double bye spot is wide open, and it could be a couple of different teams that dive in there. We've got ranked teams. We'll start there since we are still playing. Number 11 FSU, I was surprised to see them not fall. I think that was because they were a little bit underrated anyway beforehand, and maybe AP poll voters are just saying, you know, we'll leave them here. They'll make some noise. Virginia at 21 and then Virginia Tech at 22. We kind of touched on those games a little bit earlier between Miami and UVA and UNC and Syracuse. It was good to see Virginia bounce back. And a little bit interesting for UNC. I mean, they've had a weird week. They lose to a terrible Marquette team. And then they go and have one of the greatest come-behind victories ever for UNC and beat number 11 FSU. And now they go on the road, which we know they struggle immensely on the road, and lose to Syracuse. Kelly, let's start with Carolina. What the heck do we think? Do we think we know? Are we expecting from the Tar Heels from this point forward?
Well, dadgum it, Mac. I don't know anything about this team. All right.
You shouldn't have scheduled the game, Roy. Come on.
That was my terrible Roy
Williams.
No, that
was good. That was good. I knew exactly who it was.
You just got to say dadgum it. Look, UNC is so dadgum inconsistent. Okay. I truly don't know. I truly don't know what we're going to get on a night in, night out basis. You had Walker Kessler go for 20 against Florida State. He had 4 points tonight. He only shot three shots. You had some inconsistent play from your young guards again with RJ Davis and Caleb Love. And remember, Mac, who I said was the X factor against FSU. I was wrong. He wasn't the X factor. He had a couple shots. But I think when he struggles to shoot, UNC really struggles to win. And that's Kerwin Walton. He was 1-for-10 tonight. He was 0-for-7 from three. They need some sort of three-point presence, and they just didn't get that tonight because Walton struggled. And then on the other end, Buddy Boeheim went off. That's one of the best games I've ever seen him play. 26 points, 6 of 13 from 3. He was great. And Guerrier was also really good for Syracuse. So Syracuse is where they always are, Mac. They are comfortable on the bubble. That's where they live. I don't think Syracuse is a tournament team. I think when, you know, your home road splits are that stark and you really haven't beaten anyone that's that good, I have some question marks about Syracuse. I think North Carolina is a tournament team, but that UNC-Duke game this weekend, it's we always say, okay, this UNC Duke game, it matters so much, right? Which team's going to be the number one seed? No, this year it's which team wants to actually make the tournament. Right. That's where we are with this Duke UNC game.
And that's nuts to say, the fact that it's a season where both teams are struggling, right? And Duke was figuring it out, and we thought they were going to be super hot and maybe still have a chance to do that. And UNC, same thing, just up and down, the inconsistencies that we've seen from them is just kind of eye-opening. And I think one good thing about UNC is the fact that they do have, you know, five different freshmen that have won Freshman of the Week, ACC, that can step up at any time. And that's what you'll need in the tournament if you get there. But when you look at this team going against Duke this weekend, I mean, is this for Duke's bubble slot? I mean, if they lose to UNC, as you have written down here, is their bubble about to be burst?
Yes, and even more so if they lose to Georgia Tech on Tuesday, which actually is my most important game in the Big Three breakdown. So we'll get to that in just a second. But this is a huge week for Duke. I think the Georgia Tech win is arguably more important than North Carolina, just because it seems like in some ways Duke and Georgia Tech are fighting for the same spot in the tournament because they're in the same exact situation. So that game is massive. And then, of course, Duke UNC. I think the winner feels really good about their tournament chances, and the loser is really struggling. Now, speaking about the ACC tournament, anything can happen in the tournament. If Duke gets hot, if UNC gets hot and they each win two games, they could play themselves back in. But I do believe that the winner of Duke UNC, the winner is probably in at the moment and the loser is probably out. And then you got to see what happens in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see. I do think North Carolina might be firmly in. I saw on ESPN tonight while watching these games that Duke was in those first four out. So they're kind of already being listed as not making it. But I agree with you. They win this week. I think they've got a really good shot. Let's move on to the Big Three breakdown, Kelly, and some great games. I mean, to finish the season this way, we've said Bubblicious about 30 times. Let's start with one that you just mentioned is very Bubblicious. Duke at Georgia Tech, Tuesday, 8 p.m. on ACC Network. I mean, it's got a lot of fun things. Jose Alvarado, Moses Wright playing so well right now. Moses Wright, I mean, he's playing it out of his mind. He's dunking on everybody. He's touching the top of the backboard, slamming that thing down. And then on the other end, you've got Matthew Hurt, who also is playing extremely well. So tell me what you're seeing in this game. What's going to be some X factors? What do we need to see from each of them to keep going forward in a positive way?
Mac, would you say Moses, when he gets in the paint, it's like the Red Sea just parts?
I love it. Yes, that is 100% what happens. No doubt about it.
That's what it feels like with Moses. Okay, Duke and Georgia Tech. Mac, I feel like we could pull the tape back from February. I remember picking, or January, I remember picking Georgia Tech to win at Duke. That was back in, they played on January 26th, so it was that week. And I was saying, guys, Georgia Tech is good. They are good. They have some bad losses in the non-conference, so they have an uphill climb, because they lost to Mercer and they lost to Georgia State in like a triple overtime game. And they didn't practice during regular practice because Josh Pastner didn't want to practice because he wanted to stick in COVID in pods to make it safer. So this is a Georgia Tech team that I think is super talented. They have great veteran guards and they have Moses inside. And I hope they make the tournament because I want to see them keep playing. So this game is very, very important. As we mentioned, this is the rematch. The first game was back on January 26th. Duke won 75-68. Jose Alvarado was out of his mind in that game. That was one of the best performances that he's had. He had 26 points. Moses Wright played really well inside. And here's an added wrinkle, Mac. Here's an added wrinkle. Jalen Johnson had 18 points in that game. That was one of his better performances before he quit the team. So keep an eye on that. There's no Jalen Johnson. And, you know, we always say, we were talking about, is Duke better or whatever without Jalen Johnson? They have played, I think, their best basketball without him. But when things aren't going well, when Matthew Hurt is in foul trouble, you can see that sometimes they're looking for that next guy. They're looking for that depth that they don't have. And that is my concern with Matthew Hurt. And that's what's happened in some of the games where Duke has struggled. Matthew Hurt gets in foul trouble, and he's basically non-existent. So keep an eye on that. The other thing that I want to talk about here, Mac, that is not going to happen in Atlanta, okay? Duke was 18 of 22 from the free throw line in the first game. Georgia Tech was 4 for 5. I'm sorry. That's not happening in Atlanta, guys. That ain't happening. So can Georgia Tech use the free throw line to its advantage? Georgia Tech has played so well since the heartbreaking loss at Clemson when Nick Honor banked in that three, which we all remember. They've won 4 in a row. They're playing great basketball. Duke has faltered a little bit. They lost to Louisville last weekend in Durham. Can Jose Alvarado and Michael DeVoe, two of the most veteran, savvy, toughest guards in the league, can they outduel these young, super talented guards for Duke in Stewart and Roach, and I'll even throw Goldwire in there, because Carlick Jones had his way, and he reminds me a lot of Jose Alvarado. I would take Carlick Jones over Jose Alvarado, but they remind me of each other. So Can the guards win out in this game? Mac, I am taking Georgia Tech in this game in Atlanta.
Come on. I love to hear that. I've got to ask you a question, though, because we're talking about Duke. We're talking about Matthew Hurd and, you know, who he is as a player, what he means to them. Who, as we transition right here really quickly, is going to win ACC Player of the Year? Because I have no clue. Because I thought it was Justin Champagne, like kind of guaranteed. But Pitt's bad. And I don't really – it's not that I don't care, but I don't care about a good player that's on a terrible team. And that's kind of similar with Matthew Hurd. I mean, it's, you know, it's right there. So I have no clue. I think Matthew is probably the favorite right now, but I wanted to hear your opinion before we move on to game two real quick.
Mac, it's a great question. I think Pittsburgh is just not doing well enough for Champagne to win it, but he'll probably be first team. And you look at Florida State, who I think is going to win the regular season. They're so balanced, it's tough to say any of their guys is ACC Player of the Year. MJ Walker at 13 points per game, you can't give it to him. And then that's kind of the same with Virginia. Virginia is so balanced with Hauser and Huff that I'm not sure you'd give it to either of those guys. So then you look beyond that. I think Keve Aluma should be in the discussion. And I think this last week, if I was a voter, I vote on the women's side, I don't vote on the men's side. If I was a voter, this last week would sway me a lot. And for me, it would really help my decision. For me, it comes down to Keve Aluma, Carlique Jones, Matthew Hurd. Those are the three. And my tiebreaker might just be which team finishes higher, because I think all three of those are so vital to their teams. You know, think about where those teams would be without each of those guys. They'd be nowhere, okay? Carlique Jones means so much to Louisville, Aluma to Virginia Tech, Matthew Hurd to Duke. Right now, Virginia Tech is highest in the standings. Lucky for us, Virginia Tech and Louisville play this week, so maybe that's a good barometer there. But it's coming down to those three. If I was leaning one specific way, if you told me right now, Kelly, pick someone, I would say Carlique Jones.
Oh, okay. Little surprising right there.
He means that much to Louisville. Louisville can't win if Carlique Jones doesn't play well. And it showed itself when they went up to, I believe it was Minnesota, and got blown out without him because he was hurt. And he means so much to his team. I think I would go Carlique Jones.
I love it. I was not expecting that, but maybe I should have. You guards kind of, you stick together, and I understand.
Oh, I'm such a guard.
That's right.
Homer.
I understand.
No doubt.
Let's move to, again, we kind of hit on this game a little bit. We talked about Bubblicious. This game, I don't care if either team only has one win, no wins. It's going to be the most exciting. It's going to be the most watched, the most tuned into. Duke at North Carolina. And a little bit of an X factor here in the state of North Carolina. We can now have fans at some of our games,
yes,
right about 20-30%. So there will be fans at this UNC game. It was great to see that everyone, of course, staying safe, staying, you know, kind of apart from each other. But it was great to see. That'll be Saturday, 6 p.m. on ESPN. I think we both know what we're going to see from this game, which is going to be electricity. It's going to be all these players playing the best that they ever have this entire season. But if you can kind of give us a prediction on what you think is going to happen, I want to hear it.
Well, I thought the fans in the Dean Dome were a huge factor in the comeback win over Florida State. You could hear them, and they were loud, and I could hear some of those senior students that have just been dying to go to basketball games, and they were taking it out on Florida State. So however many fans get to be in there on Saturday, they are going to be loud. And we've already talked about the NCAA tournament implications there. They're just massive in this game. As I mentioned, the Florida State win was a huge win for North Carolina, but they're so up and down. The only constant, the only consistent thing that I've really seen from UNC is that they play well at home, but that doesn't even really apply because they lost to Marquette. So it's very tough to figure them out. UNC's young guards in the first game, Caleb Love, was excellent in that game. So keep in mind, Caleb Love, 25 points. He balled out. But in the FSU game, as I said, Walton hasn't played well lately. Love and RJ Davis have really looked young and reverted back a little bit. Brooks and Baycott just disappeared against Florida State. But they were great against Duke. So I think that those guys are going to show up. Matthew Hurd, in that first Duke-UNC game, he got in foul trouble. He finished with only 7 points. Jalen Johnson had 14 points in the first meeting. The bottom line is there's young guards on both sides. I don't really know who I trust. I think that's kind of a wash. And so then I look at the front court, and I'm going to give North Carolina the edge in the front court. Even though Matthew Hurd's been playing well, he's just one guy. And I think UNC has so many options they can bring in off the bench. I still think Kerwin Walton needs to hit some shots in this game for UNC to win it. But because it's at home, because they have some fans, I'm going to go with North Carolina.
I think if Matthew Hurt can go off and get a win, he's ACC Player of the Year.
That's Mac, I'm with you on that.
Historically,
that's good.
It has never happened in the three times now going on four. He just never has. I think he's only had 7 points, which he did all of that in the last game. He's always in foul trouble against him. And I think Bacot and Brooks are going to go right at him and say, hey, bud, you're not going to be able to do anything against us. We're going to get you in foul trouble. And I think, as you just mentioned, those two big boys down low, as well as the two younger freshmen coming off the bench, I think UNC takes over and wins this game.
Mac, you nailed it. The bottom line is Matthew Hurt has to guard someone.
Unfortunately for the three of us two included, you have to play defense in the game of basketball.
He does have to guard someone. And you're right. That is the MO. Go at him early. Throw the ball inside to Brooks or Bacot, whoever he's guarding, and go at him. So that I think UNC is going to do that this time, and we'll see. We'll see if Duke can find a way to keep him out of foul trouble.
And, you know, at the end of the day, he is a competitor. Matthew Hurt is a great player, and maybe he will feed off of that this game and say, okay, let's go. It's all on me, because it honestly is. Like you said, the front court or the back court, it's a wash. It's young guys. It's guys that can do great stuff for you but then can be very inconsistent. So I hope that he realizes how much of it is on him and really takes on that challenge. All right, you mentioned this matchup when we were talking about who you think is going to win ACC Player of the Year. Louisville at 22, Virginia Tech, Wednesday, 7 p.m., ESPN2. A lot on the line for this game, Kelly. Tell me what you're thinking.
Well, Virginia Tech has been interesting since they got back from their COVID pause. They lost to Georgia Tech at home. That was a big win for the Yellow Jackets right off of their pause. They looked winded. They looked like any team would coming off a COVID pause. But they had a get-right game on Saturday at Wake Forest. They beat them by 40. Wake has just given up. They've thrown in the towel. So we're on to next year is kind of what Wake is doing. Cave Aluma had 23 points in the Wake game. And here's the good news too, Mac. Tyrese Radford is back. He's in the lineup. He's playing well. He is such a glue guy for them. And I think he's a difference maker. So if you're a Virginia Tech fan, you're glad he's back. Jalen Cohn has been out. I'm not sure if he's going to be out for this game, but he has been injured. Their shooter that comes off the bench. So keep an eye on that. Louisville, again, both these teams have gone in weird directions. Louisville was absolutely destroyed in Chapel Hill. And since then, they've played well. And they've had two wins. And Carleigh Jones has just been a monster. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists in the win at Duke. There are very few players in the entire country, Mac, not just the ACC, the entire country, that are as valuable to their team as Carleigh Jones is. I love the way that guy plays. I love the heart. I love the grit. He's a cold-blooded scorer. He's great in the mid-range. He can get to the basket. He is a scoring point guard that still can facilitate and find open guys. So I think he's the X factor here. And then Samuel Williamson as well for Louisville. He is starting to get some confidence. This was a really highly rated recruit last year. He's got a great, skill set. I think he can be a big weapon for them, but he's got to continue to come on. This game is a very tough one to call. I love how Aluma's been playing. Two ACC Player of the Year candidates for me with Aluma and Carleigh Jones. Louisville, again, Mac, just like slap the computer because I say this all the time. Louisville is bad on the road. They've struggled. I know they won at Duke, but overall, they're so much better at home. You look at these home records. Louisville's 9-1 at home. Virginia Tech's 10-2 at home. I'm leaning Virginia Tech in this game, Mac, but I think it's going to be must-watch TV.
Yeah, I agree with you. And really, the reason why I'm leaning so hard Virginia Tech is the guy that you mentioned earlier, Tyrese Radford. He's the glue. He's the X factor. He's the guy that really can just do it all for you. And I think we're going to see him play just with a different motor and a different passion. And it's like when something is taken away from you for a little bit or forever, you know, it means that much more. And so I think we're going to see him play really, really at a high level. And I think he's going to be kind of the icing on the cake. And then you look at that kind of moving into tournament time. If you have a player like that who's just playing super inspired and can get everybody else going around you, you can really, really make some noise. So I'm with you there. I like all your picks so far. All right, Kelly, let's get to the speed round and move on to Clemson at Syracuse Wednesday, 5 p.m. ACC Network. You just told us it's impossible to shoot at Syracuse. Clemson has been shooting the ball fairly well, and that's, I think, a big part of their success. What are you thinking in this game, in our first game of our speed round?
Well, I've played in the Carrier Dome only once. It was pretty empty. because even though Syracuse is good on the women's side, no one comes. And I shot terribly. I hate shooting in that gym, especially when it's empty. I think there's a big difference, Mac, when you have fans in there and it's just an empty football stadium. So this will be a tough thing for Clemson to navigate. They're coming off a perfect February, 5-0 in the month of February. One of those wins when they blew out Syracuse on February 6th. Clemson shot lights out versus the zone, and there is a blueprint there. That's what Clemson did just a couple weeks ago. When you have that confidence and you've shot well against that Syracuse zone earlier in the season, I think that's going to bode well for Clemson. I do worry about Syracuse in the dome, but Guerrier looks beat up. Buddy Boeheim, it looks like he rolled his ankle on Monday night. They're already depleted with injuries. It's a one-day turnaround. Very few, only one team has beaten Syracuse in the dome this year. I think Clemson gets it done, shocks the world, Mac, and wins a game in that empty Carrier Dome on Wednesday night.
You heard it here first, folks. Clemson getting the dub up at Syracuse. All right, let's get to the next game. Number 11, FSU at Notre Dame. Saturday noon, ESPN2. Florida State, they're leaving Tallahassee. We never know what's going to happen when that's the case. Kelly, what are you seeing here?
Look, I'm always worried about FSU going on the road. However, this is a Notre Dame team that gave up 94 points to Boston College. I don't know if Boston College has five scholarship players left. They don't have a coach. Like, I don't even know what's happening. So you gave up 94 points to them. Florida State's going to come in there.
BC, if you need two shooters, Kelly and I are available. Just, we'll stand in the corner, catch and shoot, whatever you need.
Now, I can't really go to a cold climate like that, Max. So if you play any games in the South, let me know. But I think FSU should be fine. And it's interesting because Florida State, if they win out this week, they win the league. They have Boston College and Notre Dame left. So I think it's going to be a good week for FSU, and I think they're going to wrap up the regular season title.
Come on, and I think that'll be good kind of momentum for FSU going into the tournament. They're still my favorite, I believe, to win this thing. All right, let's move on to the last game of the speed round, number 21, Virginia at Louisville. Louisville kind of having a tough little stretch here, having to play both Virginia Tech and Virginia to end the season. Virginia's traveling to Louisville Saturday, 4 p.m. ESPN. What do you think here? Like you said, a brutal finish for Louisville.
I love Carlick Jones, as I have mentioned, but this finish is tough, especially because they got news that Malik Williams is back out with an injury. He re-aggravated against Duke. So they are kind of limping to the finish injury-wise, and they already rely so much on their starters. Virginia got back on track against Miami. That's a good sign for UVA. So they get to rest, and then they're going to play Louisville this weekend. I think I can break this game down pretty simply. Carlick Jones is greater than Kihei Clark. You guys know how I'm sure Kihei Clark's a great person. You know how I feel about his lack of size and how it hurts UVA overall.
Kihei, he listens to this. He's coming after you, Kelly.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, Kihei. I'm sure you're great. You're friends with our guy, Jay. We love Jay. I think Carlick Jones is greater than Kihei Clark, but Kihei Clark's supporting cast is better. And so that's the simplest way for me to look at this. I think Virginia is going to take care of business, even though Louisville's been great at home because everyone has. I think Virginia handles this game.
We will see, guys. It's March. It's postseason. It's the last week of the men's regular season. I'm super excited for Wednesday because we are just all in on the women's side. Going to break it completely down. Break it down with Coach. Guys, if you haven't already, go check out our producer, Richmond Weaver's podcast. He is going to have to do some major surgery with this one. Kelly and I just cutting it up, messing up about every other word. We get too silly,
you know, too.
It's late night, guys. Can I be real with you? It's later at night. It's past both of our bedtimes. We're recording this.
At 3 a.m.
It's 4 a.m. It comes out in 10 minutes. He's really got to do it quickly. But check out his podcast, Rich Take on Sports. Filled with tons of great guests, a lot of great content, and he's been doing it for quite some time. So there's hundreds of episodes you can go through and just look for people you like. It's a great podcast. But that's it for this episode of Gramlich and McLean, brought to you by our great friends over at Traeger Grills. Thank y'all for listening. If you haven't already, go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, drop us a little 5-star rating, a little review. We greatly appreciate that. But until next time, we'll see y'all.